People are quoting it to me in the foyer out here, so I know y'all have it. Okay, your Mary's first hand. Yeah. There's one. Mike.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. And I wanted to also say, speaking for the class, we appreciate what you have to go through, but we've been through a lot too.
Right. Right.
I just wondered.
For those that didn't hear Mike, he said, y'all been through a lot too, especially with Josh's, six verses, and I tried to take it easy on y'all some, so. Good. We appreciate y'all. Yep.
Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not into our understanding. And always acknowledge Him and He will direct.
Wonderful. What are we saying, Miss? Good. Anybody over here want to take a step? Okay. Tara, go ahead. So you don't have to teach this. Everybody knew it anyway. So that's the good thing about this sometimes. Yes, ma'am. One more. Good. A lot of hands that time. Okay, so as we enter in this morning, as we look at Proverbs 2 and 3 in particular, there's some if and then. If you do this, then this will happen, right? So we see this in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The if is, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lead on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledging Him, then He will make your path straight. So that's important. There's almost a cause and effect. And then important as we kind of jump in this one. Again, context. Let's look at Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. The reader for that. A lot of good. Proverbs 12. Who's got it? Nathan, you have it? Thank you. So in particular, how Proverbs 3 starts off, my son. There's some instruction being given here. And I can remember when I was younger, being a teenager, or pre-teenager, or of that age, listening to my parents. My dad didn't know what he was talking about. My mom had no clue. I think that's an immaturity thing, an immaturity issue. And as you grow older, I couldn't sit at the feet of my dad long enough today. I could sit and gain wisdom. He's got 25 years on me. And my grandfather, 25 years beyond that. So from what we're reading here, I think there's this concept of a father talking to a mature son saying, here are the important things in life. We hear that throughout all of Solomon's writings. And that's important here to understand that concept and to see that visual. Okay, so in regards to this trust concept that we see in verse 5, I wonder in today's society if we haven't become a little numb to that, to this concept of trust in God. And just hear me out for a second. When we run out of food, our refrigerator's bare, what do? Go to the grocery store. There you go. Or Tom goes out to eat. You make a point. When when our clothes rip or we get too fat, what do? We just buy new clothes. I don't go on a diet, Ann. We go buy new clothes. When we're sick, what do?
Go to the doctor.
Go to the doctor, right? I can remember when, again, I mentioned that my son was taken in the hospital on January 2nd this year. First thing we did is go to the after hours. What's oftentimes the first thing we ought to be doing? Praying. And I think we miss that sometimes. We take a lot of these things for granted, whether it be our food, our clothes, our health. And that's just, we've kind of become numb to that, I think. Is that even when we run out of money, let's charge it up. Let's charge up that card. I mean, we don't really have a sense of God assisting in our daily need and reciprocating our trust back to Him. I think that's so important. So Solomon says here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. It's easier said than done, but what does that mean? What does it mean to trust the Lord with all your heart? Lip service. That's really good, Miss Cecil. What else? Yes, ma'am. Well, what I say about the American way is what I'm talking about is typical. I think we've become numb to that because if you look at some poor nations or some poor people, they've got that. That's their everyday. That's their life. And so maybe they have a different perspective. I'm talking about our perspective. So I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying maybe from our perspective, when those things happen, those can be some of the worst things that can happen to us. We got it pretty easy. You got it pretty easy. Yeah, Josh.
Going back to your question about what it means to trust the Lord with all your heart, remembering that the Proverbs, like Psalms, is written in a poetic form, oftentimes you look at the next verse and it pretty much explains it because it's taking the same thought and just rephrasing it. It's a key aspect of the poetry. So when you look at verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, well, that's what it means to trust the Lord with all your heart. So we're facing a situation. So we're trying to reason out, what do I do in this situation? Which way do I go? Well, what guidance has the Lord given in that situation? Particularly, you know, when it comes to moral choices we make versus just life decisions. That's what it means to trust God. You look at what did God say, and then you just commit yourself to doing what God had to say.
Good point. We're going to get to acknowledge Him, so I don't want to expound on that quite yet. Yeah.
Well, Joe's part pretty much cleared up. But the idea of trust is me to put confidence in and have faith in and believe. When we do that, when we put our confidence in God, that means God is embedded in our hearts. We truly believe that He is, He will deliver. But we have to do that. It's not just going to automatically happen, but if we begin to doubt and wonder, then we're not trusting God.
Right. That's a key word you used in there was faith. And faith in understanding His methods, the outcomes, all of that. That's a big part of that. That's a great point. Damon.
The second part of that verse, it says, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I think that's the comparison. I mean, regardless of whether you have an intellectual understanding or whether you know what you are or not, should the second trust in God, whether you understand.
Spot on. And we're going to get to all these individual components in just a moment. You guys made some great points. You touched on everything I wanted to touch on. Faith being a big part of this. I'm going to ask you another question. Can trust in God grow and deepen your walk with God? That's obvious, right? Certainly. And I think the trust component is so difficult. Like I said, even trusting that God has the right outcome for that, even when we may not have foreseen that being the outcome that we wanted. What does trusting God sometimes require? Give me some things.
Well, in the verse it says, my son, forget not my law. When you trust in God, that means you know God, what God expects of you. If I'm going to trust and put confidence in my physical father, then I know what he expects of me. And I'm going to put that in my heart. And whatever comes my way or comes across my path, I'm not going to let it deter me from what my father has commanded me to do.
Right. You studied and haven't forgot? What else, Charlie?
God knows us by name and he loves us.
Well said. Well said. Who else? What are some other things God, trusting God requires? Patience. Accepting it when answer, again, accepting an answer we're not anticipating. Good thoughts. Thank you. Why does Solomon say here we must trust God with our heart and not our brains, our intellect, and our bodies? Somebody already touched on the intellect. If you already said it, you can repeat it. But if you have other thoughts on that, I want to hear them. Because this is a component we're going to get into in just a second. Because it says don't lean on your understanding. We're going to read some other Proverbs that talk about learning to understand. So why is it important? To understand this concept of understanding, but not trust our own intellect.
Don't make it a condition of trust.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Don't make it a condition of your trust.
Oh, that's great. It's not conditional. Oh, that's really good. Right. Oh, that's great. Anybody else? No? Okay, that's good. Let's read through some of these. I've got 9 that I'd like to read through. Because it is important to have this concept of understanding. So we're going to talk about this for just a minute. Proverbs 2:2. I'm going to give some verses, and I just want somebody to raise their hand, and then you're going to turn to it, and then I'm going to call on you in just a second. Proverbs 2:2. Hand. Mike. Proverbs 2:3. Tom, Proverbs 2:6. Yes, sir. Proverbs 3:13. Yes, ma'am. Proverbs 14:33. D. Proverbs 15:14. And. Proverbs 16:16. Yes, sir. Cecil, I'm going to give you Proverbs 23:23. Okay. Proverbs 2:2.
So that thou incline thy ear to wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding.
Okay. Proverbs 2:3.
Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding.
Read the next verse, too, if you don't mind. Good, thank you. Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs 3:13. Proverbs 14:33.
Wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is it in the heart of fools is made known.
What did you just read? 14:33? I'm sorry. 15:14.
The mind of the intelligent seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on folly.
And Proverbs 16:16.
How much better it is to get wisdom and gold than to get understanding to be chosen above silver.
And Proverbs 23:23. All right, so Damon mentioned that is not conditional. There's more to it than that, I think. I mean, that's really good. But what else? What are other components of this understanding concept? Because Solomon's telling us not to lean on it. But then, is he talking out of both sides of his mouth? What's happening here?
What's the juxtaposition of human understanding and God's wisdom, which is true understanding?
There's the trust factor that basically God foreknew, and he will know what happens. He will know what will happen after, and trusting that God knows. God understands it better than we do. What else? Yes, ma'am. Kind of human nature, though, too, isn't it, Gwen? Where we want to be able to understand what's going on, but maybe we may not always. We may not always understand. That's great. Yeah, it's a Bob.
I think the wisdom and understanding that he's talking about getting is not from our own understanding, but listening to God's wisdom, God's understanding, and we get wise not in ourselves, but in the fact that we listen to him.
You've made my point. What's the key word in the second half of verse 5? Or the key words? Your own. Don't lean on your own, but seek the understanding that God would want you to have. That's a really great point. I saw another hand over here. Right, so how do we know that? How do we understand what God's talking about? What's that understanding? Great point. Anybody else? Wally. That's a good point, too. For those of y'all that didn't hear what Wally said, we still have to make choices. And what are those choices going to be made on? God's understanding or our understanding? Well put. Yeah. Did you want to say something? Did you say something? Okay. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Miss Linda. It's a great way that Jeremiah put it. Not in your own steps. Don't walk in your own steps. That's beautiful. Yeah? Perfect. Yes, ma'am. It's good. Did everybody hear that? What she said, and I like it because it's a food analogy. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, basically going through cafeteria line, and I like it. Knowledge is knowing what you like, what you want. Understanding is understanding what's good for you. I don't want to butcher it. And then wisdom is actually choosing the right thing or what's good for you. Is that right? I butchered it, so. I should have given her the mic. That was really good. That's great. That's really good. So there's almost a tiered effect of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. That's really good. Okay. Last comments? Those are some really great thoughts. Anybody else want to make? Yeah, that goes along with absolutely. That goes along with what Wally was saying. We've got to still make choices. And understanding what's right and wrong is leaning on whose understanding? On the Lord's. Perfect. Obviously, again, very natural for us as humans to one, understanding and knowledge about situations. So we need to understand whose knowledge and understanding we're seeking here. I think it's interesting, especially, you know, we look back in Genesis, right? In that first sin. And Adam and Eve in the garden. And I look at this understanding situation in regards to Adam and Eve. And I think about what was really going through their heads. Because it's deeper than just wanting some fruit, right? It's different than that. It's, God told them not to do it. Was that going to be bad for them? Maybe not necessarily. But God told them not to do it. And so they're leaning on their own understanding. They're leaning on their own desires, their wants, and not what God said. And that gets you into trouble. And I think that's a perfect correlation to what we're talking about today as well, in addition to what you guys have added. So in summing up verse 5, in trusting God, we're not setting aside our own intellect, but rather resting our intellect on the intellect of God. It's pretty much summing up what all you guys have said already. That's good. Okay, so let's move to verse 6. Somebody's already beat me to the punch here on what acknowledging is. So acknowledging Him, what is that? What does it mean to acknowledge God?
Be aware of His presence, be aware of His words, just be aware of
it. Aware that He's here? Yeah. Great. What else? Giving God the glory? Oh, yeah. Not just acknowledging, but going beyond that, giving Him the glory? Oh, that's great. What else? Yes, ma'am. Perfect. Yeah. Jesus was sitting next to you. God was sitting next to you. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, sir. That's how it's reciprocated. Absolutely. I think that's a component, absolutely a component of it, because you're acknowledging Him. You're acknowledging He's here. You're talking to Him. What else? What other ways are you going to acknowledge God? Following? Very simple. Yeah. Easier said than done. Yes. Say that again. I'm sorry.
Always saying He's right.
Mm-hmm. That's so hard. That's so difficult. Acknowledging He's right, even going back to what we talked about earlier. Even if the answer isn't what we were expecting, or even if it wasn't what we're anticipating or wanting. Good. Anybody else? Ways we can acknowledge Him? Yes, sir.
I know this has to be a personal thing in the application of it, but there is also a societal concept in this. Romans 1 talked about that the Gentiles glorified Him not as God. That was a general thing among them. And I think, from our own perspective, I think of the difference of the founding fathers in our country and their acknowledging of God in so many different ways, in so many different documents and so on. And I contrast that with today and our attitude toward God that has become just a negative instead of
That's great, Bob. I don't know if I want to add anything to it, because I could go down a rabbit hole. I mean, that is, who do we want to lead us? Who has the best direction for society? And, you know, in our electoral process? Who, in general, what does society think about God? Yeah. Absolutely. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
The very first sin was to question God's character and his power. And you see that here. But if we think God is not either powerful enough to handle our sin or doesn't have the character to desire to handle our sin, then we won't acknowledge it. We'll lean our understanding.
That's a great point. Y'all hear that over here? Basically, just to repeat what he said is, just like the first sin, if we don't understand God, and I think a wrath of it is a component of it, of that, if we don't understand his wrath, then we're free to do whatever. That's a great point, too. Yeah, Mike?
Another part of this is the reward, because like in a number of places it talks about God provides a reward for us. Like in Hebrews 11:6, it says that he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. And so to acknowledge God is to also recognize that he is the one who can and will reward us.
It's true to his promises. Yeah, the wrath is a component of that. Not being ruled by fear, but at the same time understanding the reward. That's really good. Really good. Okay. Yes, Wally. Yeah. Wally said the first commandment is have no other gods before me, and that's great because we put so many other things as a god in front of God. That's good. Yeah. Keep in perspective, guys. Any other versions have anything other than name him? Or, sorry, acknowledge him? I already gave it away. Name him. So, acknowledge him, name him, that's really good. And it's not just as simple as naming him or acknowledging him. It's just not the words. It's everything else that we've talked about. So in everything we do, have we named God? Have we seen God's purpose and his internal plan in mind? Anybody using New Living? I usually don't ask that. I don't think those words have ever come out of my mouth. Anybody using the New Living translation on this? No? Nobody wants to fess up? Not judging. No, I'm not going to judge, but I like what it says, actually. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. I think that's very simply put as well. Seek his will in all you do. And that's really putting us in the background and God in the foreground. Again, this is a trust thing. God even telling us which path to take. I think so often, you know, I read this somewhere and I liked it. I think we live in this society again where we're expecting an email or a text from God. Or we would like that. Not that we expect it, but that we would like that. What's my decision here? What should I buy that thing? Should I do this? Should I not do that? Somebody already said it. He's already talking. He's already talked to us. Where's the knowledge? Where's the understanding? Right there. In our Bibles. So the main concept here is to trust God in his understanding of how things will work out. And we even need to trust the path he puts us on. All right, now I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in this. I see a lot of people seeking bad paths, not spiritually minded. But everything seems to be working out for them. In an earthly sense. Everything's going smoothly. Lives are good. Why is that? Help explain that to me. Help me understand that. Maybe the answer isn't even in why is it good for them, but what's my attitude? attitude towards that. Yes, ma'am. That's well put. That's the way it is, and God is the ultimate judger. Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
You'll be able to tell you the verse. I can't. But there's a verse in there that says, "What is it to gain the whole world but lose your soul?"
Right.
So,
right.
Bully for them if they get everything, but
right.
In the end, they still lose their soul.
It's maybe not even a getting stuff thing. I like what you're saying there. It may not even just be that, but things are going well, and they have no trust in God. And I think that's sometimes frustrating for us, is that we see, man, I've got it even worse, sometimes even worse off, and I'm trusting, I'm following. Good point. Yes, sir. Exactly right. And that's perspective. That's what we need to work on, because that's, somewhat instinctive. Yeah. Yes, sir. You're going to have to forgive me. I got pieces of it. Can you say it one more time? Do you mind?
Yeah. The scripture was talking about should not be carried away by the prosperity of the wicked. Their end is like a slippery path.
Right.
So we should be careful and look focused on God.
Right. Keep focused on God. Perfect. What else? Yes, ma'am. Right.
So therefore, when we look at it, we say, why are they prospering? Because God is a good God.
Right. Right. God is good to us all, to an extent. And but the ultimate, humbling part of it is that God will judge. I think that's great. Yeah.
I want to piggyback off the bio's comment.
Yeah.
About the wicked and their prosperity.
Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, we see a lot of characters like that throughout Scripture, that they're dealing with, prosperous and successful, societies, and it's just keeping it all in perspective, like Linda said. Yes, sir. Long suffering. I think, yeah, that sums it up so well, because. He's patient with us. Yeah, he is patient with us. Okay. Anybody else? I wanted to go through maybe two more verses. We made it through Micah 6:8 last Sunday. And I know Josh said he wanted to maybe do a big review. I don't know if he'll have time for that on Wednesday. Let's do a couple, though. Let's do a couple in review. Jeremiah 29:11. Yes, ma'am. She's got it. Hebrews 10:23. Yeah. Miss Mary. Yeah, I saw a hand. How'd she do? Is that good? Does that pass? B plus? Good? No.
She can always just say she's reading from a different translation.
Oh, that's, yeah. New Living. 2 Timothy 2:15. Right. Somebody else wanted to do it too. Let's do one more. Ezekiel 18:20. Ezekiel 18:20. I know Josh has it. Say it louder, Bob. No, you bailed Bob out. You bailed him out. No, that's good. That's good. All right, thank you guys for your attention this morning. It's been a pleasure being with y'all this quarter.